everyone, and welcome to another math podcast on blockchain. So the numbers is going up and up. I realize this should be our 15th podcast. We started with one or two, thinking how long this will last, and soon we realized that we could integrate a lot of discussions, a lot of interesting things that are happening in the world. So Daniele, welcome again, as you are the traditional host. So Daniele Menzi for us as an advisor.
Thanks for having me here.
But a very warm welcome to Eric Pritzkans, that has been so kind to join us as well. Eric is the CEO of RAG, and I'll ask him to explain a bit more what RAG is, in case you haven't heard. It's great to have you here, Eric.
Thank you so much for letting me be on the show. It's a real pleasure to be here today. So yes, RAG, the Risk and Assurance Group, a non-profit association of telco professionals who work in risk management and business assurance. And we do some interesting things, much like you do very interesting things at MEF, which is why I'm keen to talk to your listeners about the things that we're doing, hopefully get them involved in some of them.
Exactly. And it's a, I would say it's a sister association somehow. And it's so it's great to have you here to learn a lot of what we're doing. And I should say the RAG Group is much more than what we're going to be talking today. So hopefully we're going to explain in different parts of BATH some of the things you're doing. But there is something very exciting that we have for today here in the blockchain group, which is your efforts in what has been happening in terms of risk and blockchain with a specific solution on OneGear. Now, let me ask you first, what is the RAG solutions that uses blockchain? What is it? What does it do?
Well, it's very straightforward to explain. When my good friend and colleague Anthony Sarni came to me and talked to me and said, is there a good potential application for blockchain that could be used to help with the exchange of information in the fraud space? I said, let's have a look at the fact that OneGear, the fraud where scammers leave a call on missed call on someone's phone, enticing them to call back, usually to a very expensive overseas number. Why don't we just use blockchain to exchange information between telcos as to which numbers are being used by fraudsters? Because the more data that telcos have as to the frauds that are taking place around the world, the better they'll be able to adjust their algorithms, the controls that they put in place inside their telco, to anticipate and to identify OneGear attacks when they happen, and therefore reducing the amount of OneGear worldwide. So the basic concept was that blockchain is a very well-suited technology to the kinds of information exchange you want when dealing specifically with OneGear fraud, which of course is a global phenomenon.
And before we go into blockchain, because you introduced the concept of OneGear, and which should be common to many of MEF listeners, but OneGear is a specific type of fraud that has been existing for a long, long time. This is a very old thing, isn't it?
Wangiri is very old. It's a Japanese word. It's a Japanese word because actually the first recorded cases of Wangiri happened right at the start of the century, where Japanese sex lines would call up customers, potential customers, subscribers, users of phones in Japan, basically hang up straight away afterwards, and then those people would call back the number, not knowing that they were obviously going to be paying for a premium rate service when they got through to the sex lines on the other end. So that's where OneGear started at the start of the century. What has happened is it's been morphed into a much more generic kind of fraud, where typically an international call is being missed on the subscriber's phone. They don't recognize the number. It may not even be obvious to them that it is an international number, depending upon the number range being used. And as I say, pure idle curiosity to find out who has called you does lead very many people to make the mistake of calling back. They're making a very expensive call. possibly to a premium rate number, possibly a call that's short stopped. So therefore, somebody in the chain of managing that call is profiting from the revenues coming into that company, and they're not paying that much in costs. So it's a profitable venture for the Wangiri fraudsters just to entice people to make calls. Of course, it upsets customers an awful lot because they're making very expensive calls, and they typically go back to their provider and say, we want to have a credit for this call. And increasingly, that's what telcos are choosing to do. They're giving credits back to customers because it is an upsetting crime for customers to suffer when they're finding these expensive calls on their bill itemization later on after being tricked into calling numbers that basically were used by scammers to exploit them.
Which is an interesting turn of the word here is operators, not just mobile operators, this is true for mobile and fixed operators, but are now starting to say, don't call back people if you don't know their numbers, and which is the opposite of call completions, which is so important long time ago. You know, don't use our networks.
We're destroying our industry. Crimes like this are destroying the telecoms industry, really driving down, accelerating the decline in voice revenues. And I absolutely agree with you. We need to be a little bit more intelligent, I think, in this industry, rather than just always solving every problem by the idea of consumer awareness. What we're doing is we're making consumers aware that they don't have to use their phone, or rather they could switch to other types of other methods for communicating, such as the over-the-top apps, such as the WhatsApps and the Skypes of the world. We're driving traffic away from traditional voice towards other means of communication. And it's, of course, it's not just the fraudulent calls that people aren't receiving or phoning back anymore. So we're hurting ourselves. Much better that we just strip out the fraud from our ecosystem and keep on generating good revenues for the rest of the calls.
Well, that's so true. And here we go. So Wangiri, a problem in fraud that has been around for almost 20 years. And then we haven't found a solution until now, maybe, because now something new is coming. So
But the important point is that Wangiri has really spiked in the last few years, and there's been a lack of initiative in dealing with it. So we at RAG, we run these free conferences around the world, and we're really responding to telcos saying, nobody's finding a solution. What can be done about this? So that's why we haven't previously got involved in initiatives quite as technical as this, but we are very keen to work in this space simply because the other usual providers of answers in this space simply just seem to be hoping that Wangiri is going away. And Wangiri is not going away, and the solutions that telcos can use on their own aren't adequate, aren't really sufficient to solve this problem on a global level, especially when you think that smaller telcos can't really solve the problem of Wangiri for themselves. They just don't have enough intelligence, don't have enough data to solve the problem. So for us, this is an imperative to actually find a way to exploit this excellent technology, blockchain, which is so well suited to providing a common, transparent, community-led ledger that shares this information. And I have to say, the response has been fantastic since we launched it. We ran the pilot in 2019 with 35 businesses involved. And since we launched the production version in February of this year, we've had over 60 telcos already joining. So a thrilling response to the launch of the technology.
Fantastic. Now, Daniele, let me ask you, before we go into a bit more details on what the solution is, in your experience, have you seen blockchain used for something similar before?
I will, before answering your question, I just make a 30 seconds introduction to anticipate what I'm about to say, which is, in my old telco days, I remember that, so I was in charge of fraud and risk for telcos. I remember we were receiving a kind of lists from GSMA Association, from different risk group, obviously industry reliable groups. And then people in my team were downloading kind of an Excel spreadsheet, text spreadsheet, and uploading somewhere by manually reformatting all this. And this was an exercise that, if I'm not mistaken, was done 3 times a week, because that we were receiving a list every couple of days. Every second day, we got a new list. So think about, from an operational perspective, an effort of every telco doing manual work like this, and probably inefficient work times the number of operational team all over the world, with the risk that you might have a time delay by the time you receive the list and you upload it in your system, and then you are exposed to the risk of fraud. It leads telcos to such a big exposure in terms of risk and also inefficiency that somehow was a problem that all people knew it, that was not somehow addressed. Okay, that's something that all people knew it. It's nothing new. So, but at the end, there was a solution was lacking, number one. Number two is if I'm aware of solution like this. So for me, if I put a label on this, meaning that this is a solution we're trying to tackle an operational risk in whatever industry you are, so I'm not aware of something similar like this, which involves both users and vendors. That's something very new, because typically when you have a central or a shared database, you have the same type of users that connect to that database to do whatever. Could be either within the banks, either within the financial players, but you have just one type of users that connect to that piece of application. Here is different, because you have both vendors and users that directly access, and eventually vendors aggregate their users to their platform. That provide a kind of second order effect. And secondly, this is a tool to handle operational risk. So I'm not aware of something similar, which is already operational. I have a lot of prototypes in front of me, but nothing which is operational in the real world.
Oh, great. Eric, can you tell us a bit more of the operation itself? How does it work?
Well, it's a very lean operation. It's a very economical operation, as it has to be, as we're not charging telcos for accessing the blockchain. So from the user's perspective, they have two options, basically, telcos, in terms of how they access the blockchain. If their vendors don't support access to the blockchain, then they can go to the web portal, and they have an import-export process, which would be very similar to any other process that they might have seen on the web, where data is being uploaded or downloaded on a regular basis. So we've got that, which is a straightforward way of connecting to the blockchain. But what we think has got the most potential for the rapid growth of this particular application of sharing intelligence between telcos is that we're also encouraging the vendors to integrate their existing systems, whether that, say, be a blocking system, the kind of technology used to filter calls, or a fraud management system, the kind of system used to identify which calls are related to fraud, to integrate their systems with the blockchain automatically. So really, then it's basically a press of a button as far as the user's concerned, in terms of whether they choose to allow their data to be uploaded, and the data is being downloaded from the blockchain on a regular basis, without them needing to be involved in the matter at all. So we think that integration with fraud management systems in particular, and there's a number of big vendors who have already got on board in terms of integrating their systems. Companies like Subex and Neural Technologies have already provided for their customers the facility to use the existing fraud management system to integrate with the blockchain. We think that's the area that's going to be a game changer in terms of how telcos are exchanging information. They've already got the intelligence in their systems that they already have, a lot of companies. They just don't have a slick, efficient way of connecting it to the other systems that people have around the world. Using this blockchain with an API makes it very slick and efficient for the user.
So let me ask you as well, obviously, you're talking about integration into existing platforms. Well, there might be some information providers out there and others that might do similar work. So why an association doing this? What is missing in the world right now to make it efficient? Why are you doing it?
I think as soon as you say that a solution is proprietary, you put off so many people that you don't get the critical mass you need with a solution like this. And I think the unique position that we're in RAG is that we can have the relationships with multiple vendors as well as multiple telcos, which allows us to cross barriers. So if you think about what I've just said there, there's telcos in the world that use Neural Technologies as their provider for their fraud management system. There's telcos that use Subex for their fraud management system. Now, because we're in the middle of that process, we can get customers of subjects and customers of newer technologies to effectively automatically talk to each other in terms of exchanging information. It'd be a lot harder for one of those firms, say, to broker that kind of deal with one of their rivals. Simply competitive pressure makes it difficult. The other major thing, of course, is that as far as the telcos are concerned, it makes it clear that they've got a trusted party who's responsible for overseeing this entire process. We're not doing this for money. We're a not-for-profit organization. What we're doing is responding to the need for a solution where there hasn't been an adequate solution put in place for exchanging the intelligence. And so I think what we're seeing is a reflection of the trust that's been built up over the years where telcos know RAG, are aware of what we do, are aware of the reasons why we do our work on a not-for-profit level to help risk professionals around the world. And they're responding positively because we're responding to a complaint, a concern, an issue that they're facing on a regular basis, but where nobody's been able to bring together people in a community for a community-led answer to this problem before. And I think that's the key point here, is that we're building a community of users, telcos and vendors, all dedicating to fixing this problem. And that's why it's growing so rapidly. People can see what it is, they're attracted to what it is, and therefore their usual skepticism, their concerns about how the money is being made or where the data is going, that tends to be put to one side because they recognize that this is really about solving a problem that in the end upsets and hurts a lot of customers and damages the reputation to telcos.
So Daniele, when we started this podcast, we were saying let's find how this technology blockchain could be implemented in technology in telecom, and we said where are the examples? Well, it turns out we're starting to find out quite a lot of examples now. What's happening? Is telecom falling in love with blockchain now?
Yeah, I mean here the let's say the potential of this in the what and the how, it's incredible. Because think about if you see this, what's going on here into this model, and if you take the status quo in the telcos, where you typically you have one database that someone owns and trying to make money out of it. That's the somehow the centralized approach in telcos, but also in other industries. So I want to make money because it's part of my business. I am a non-for-profit. I am a company. I'm running my business and I want to make money out of it. So here it's changing. So in fact, so data and the underlying technology, so blockchain becomes commoditized to the benefit of the community. That's the fundamental paradigm shift that I do see happening. Because at the end, if we all recognize that this is part of a common interest, so community takes an active step to deliver value to the members of that community with no really customers and vendors. We're all the same because we're using the data for the benefit of the industry. But then where the money goes, obviously building applications and building something on top for the benefit of the telcos. That's where the money goes. But the data layer here, it's kind of decoupled. And also the process is going the direction of similar than the SaaS model, when you decouple somehow the application and the technology layer, which is underlying, and the data. So this is, in my view, this is new in telco. Because in telco, people have been trying always to keep their, you know, Chinese wall and trying to make the benefit for their own organization, which is fine when it comes down to privacy, when it comes down to competitive advantage. But here we're touching a layer which is does not go into the competition. It's something with a broader interest. So coming back to your idea of introducing blockchain in telcos, regardless of the technology itself, to me, the most fascinating item here is to change the mindset on how telcos work and share information. So when I say telcos, I'm talking about the community, so the stakeholders, being users, being vendors, being customers, all together. That's, to me, the stakeholders. And this is a paradigm shift.
And forgive me, I want to jump in here because that's so true. And blockchain is really useful for helping the changing, developing the relationship between members of community. When you have the facility to do things like smart contracts, when you have the facility to do things like tokenization. So to explain a little bit more about how we're doing this and how we intend to develop this, it's going to be free, the blockchain, if you upload information. But of course, there's a danger and people be skeptical about free riders, people who don't put any information in or put in information for the wrong reasons. So we'll do our know your customer processes to make sure only the right people have access. And of course, it's cryptographically secure. But also, if you're not putting information in, you might still have a valid and legitimate reason to take information out and create a product or create a service. Those people through tokenization will pay for the data that they're taking out. So they'll be subsidizing the other users who are effectively paying for access by sharing their information. And that's the way we'll also be able to fine tune using smart contracts what's a fair deal. So we've got huge telcos like Reliance Jio who are exchanging information. We've got much smaller telcos like, say, Go in Malta exchanging information. If you're trying to apply as a one size fits all rule as to how much information you need to upload to get free access, it doesn't work very well. Yeah. But with the ability to tokenize and have smart contracts, you can fine tune it to make it a fair deal for everybody. And that makes it possible to have a community, even though the participants of the community may be quite varied and different to each other.
Yeah, so we are at the beginning of a change into an industry that, of course, have been changing over time, but it's trying to, in my view, it's trying to reposition itself to a much more community-based and collaborative way industry, much more being focused on platform rather than brick and mortar solution. So that's, to me, the beginning of a new era within telco's ecosystem.
Wow, so here we go. We are at the very beginning. And to summarize, as I think time-wise, I think we're coming to a close. If you are an operator and you are affected or you might be affected by WarnGear, you should look at Eric's solutions from the Risk and Assurance Group. So there it is. You know where to find them. If not, come to MEF and we'll point towards their directions very happily. On a wider note, look at how blockchain is coming everywhere and it's starting to actually find its way into different parts of the telecom world. So I think more to be watching in the next podcast as well. But before I close up to you, I'd like to ask you to your final remarks. What do you think our listeners should be taking away from this today? I'll start with Daniele first and go to Eric. Daniele, what's the key words for today?
The key words is that without going to the technical aspect of the blockchain, is an opportunity for every business to challenge the status quo. So blockchain gives an opportunity to redefine to the better, in my view, how to change things and how to improve things to challenge the status quo. I mean, it seems to be an obvious stuff, but you always mean practical tools when you want to do it. So you can read books, whatever, but you need a practical tool. That's a practical tool to shape things to effectively change status quo. That's, to me, the main takeover of today.
Great. And Eric, what do you think it's the main message you'd like to push today?
Well, one of the main messages is wangiri.riskandassurancegroup.org. Please go there, check out the portal and get yourself a user account because, as I say, it's free for anybody who's a reputable telco or a reputable provider to telcos. The reason to do that is because we are successfully building a community of users, people who understand that it's not just in their own business's interest, it's in the interest of the entire ecosystem that we drive down WarnGear fraud, a fraud which plagues customers all around the world. We've seen an enormous spike in WarnGear complaints over the last few years. And even if your company is doing a good job in dealing with WarnGear fraud, it's still reducing the amount of traffic that's taken worldwide by discouraging people from using their phones. So if you're doing a great job and you've got great intelligence on WarnGear fraud, why not share it? It's not going to reduce your profits in any way sharing it. It's not going to cost you money to share this information, but it will help the overall community, our entire industry, deal with this serious fraud that upsets a lot of customers and is driving down our revenues overall.
Fantastic. So great when we're talking about sometimes of the fraud issues, but when we can couple that with the solution to fraud issues, makes us a bit more excited. We're not just telling the word, beware. This is actually something you can do to manage it. So I like that we end on a positive note for once as well on both the blockchain and the fraud. So On that note, I also should thank you, Daniele and Eric, for being here and enjoying so much of what you've said today. So until the next one, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Dario.